I'm not going to preach a whole sermon, but I do want to share some things with you this morning. I tell you what, you're in the right place today. You are in the right place today. You are. You could have been in so many different places, including your bed. You could have been in, I don't know, you know, where you go when people go on Sunday mornings, because I'm always in church. But you could have been there, wherever that is. But you came to church, and I'm telling you, I believe it's by divine appointment that you're here today. It's not a mistake that you're here. God knew you'd be here. And I have a few things I want to share with you about the fast that God has chosen. Now, we've all chosen our fast. You know, some say, well, Pastor, I'm fasting sweets, and I'm fasting meat, and I'm fasting the computer or whatever. But I want to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes on the fast that God has chosen. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
I'm taking this from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. Isaiah 58, verse 6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? How good is that right there? Right there. First of all, notice that fasting will help you to get freedom from addictions. Things that you need to lay down, things that you've been fussing with for a long time. Smoking, drinking, gluttony. Oh, yeah, she went there. I know, because I have to repent of that myself. Alcohol, cussing. If you're cussing and you're a Christian, that's not good. Amen. Christians don't need to be cussing. Amen. I encourage you to get serious about fasting. God knows that when we decide to lay down our food and other pleasures, that we're getting serious and that we're wanting to get free from these things. Undo the heavy burdens. That's talking about fasting to solve problems, about maybe your finances, your marriage, or whatever, your relationship with your kids. Did you know that when you fast, when your situation seems hopeless and there seems to be no way out, that God can do in moments what you've been stressed about for weeks or months? God can take care of that. To let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Fasting and prayer can help to conquer mental and emotional problems. There's way too many people, including Christians, that are stressed to the max. All you have to do is look at them. Their faces are pinched, and they're frowning, and they look like they've been sucking on a lemon. And they're like, I'm a Christian. Praise God. And you're like, yeah, okay, alert your face. Verse 7 says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him? This is talking about fasting to meet the physical needs of other people. And let me share something with you this morning. One of my goals, one of the things that's on my vision list that I'm going to be sharing with you in the near future, is to have a food pantry in this church again. That is one of my main goals. And I want this food pantry to be a blessing, first of all, to you in the congregation. You may say, well, you know, listen, it's not a thing of pride. It's a thing of you can get groceries for cheaper. Am I right? And it could be a blessing to your family. So don't get, hey, I may get some cereal or something, you know. So don't go getting on the pride. Let this church bless you. Amen. And then we'll take it to the community. We'll bless the community. But God says start with a household of faith. And so you're my household of faith, and we're starting with you. We want to bless you. Also notice in verse 7, it says, tonight, not hide yourself from your own flesh. I'll let you figure that out. If you've got some family members that pluck your last nerve, don't hide from them. Pray for them. Also be good to your immediate family. You've heard me say that we're so good to strangers. We're so good to total strangers. Like at Walmart, they bump into your car and they say, oh, I'm sorry, please excuse me. And you're like, oh, it's okay. You know, you're okay. It's all right. But yet when we get home and we get up to go get some ice cream and somebody says, hey, get me some. And you're like, was your legs broken? You know, that's not being nice. And God sees it. So be good to your children. Be good to your grandchildren. You know, I want to tell you, have fun in your life. Have fun at home. I love having fun. When my family comes, we're just buck wild crazy almost. I'm not kidding you. It's nothing for me to walk up behind my grandchildren with an air horn and, you know, you know. So we have fun. We play. We run. I hide in the bathtub. They shoot me with Nerf guns. You know, we have so much fun. And you know, when I'm with them, I watch them. I watch their faces. I listen to them. If my grand says, Mom, you know, I got this today at school, I sit and I look them right in the face and I say, tell me more. They need this. Be good to your children. Be good to your grandchildren. Who else is going to do that? Then, and so notice that when we do the fast that God has chosen, look what happens. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. I know that sometimes it may seem dark right now, but God is getting ready to shine his light on the situation you've been praying about. And have you ever been in a situation at nighttime when all of a sudden the lights go out in your house? Let's just say you're in your house, and all of a sudden you're walking through the house and the lights just go out. And it unnerves you. When it first happens, you're like, you know, you're like a deer caught in headlights, except there is no light. And you're standing there and you're like, what has just happened? You know, and the first thing you do is you start scrambling for a flashlight. Why do you want a flashlight? Because you don't like being in the darkness, right? And then all of a sudden the lights come back on and you're so relieved. Well, let me tell you that you may feel dark and cold right now in your life, but God's light will break forth like the morning. When you least expect it, I believe God can give you a suddenly. When you least expect it, just like the little woman with the issue of blood, that day she didn't know. She went in there and she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she touched the hem of his garment, and she got a suddenly. That thing she had been dealing with for years, all of a sudden she was healed. Healed. And verse 8 goes on to say, and your healing shall spring forth. It's up there. Y'all see it. And your health shall spring forth. Anybody like that? Yeah. How great is that? And I believe that that could even be a chronic condition. Don't live with a chronic condition. Don't get used to it and don't own it. What the world is wrong with Christians when we go around and say, my arthritis, my diabetes, my asthma, my blah, 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 blah. You don't own it. It's from the stinking devil. Don't take it. Don't claim it. Don't say it's yours. It's not yours. Jesus, the Bible says, as is done in earth, in heaven, let it be done in earth. Is there any sickness in heaven? God didn't put that junk on you. Don't own it. And verse 8, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. That it means protection. I like that verse because, and I'm not trying to be rude or ignorant, but through the years, preachers have always said that God would protect you from the front. Because if you don't need protection from the back, because you shouldn't be turning your back on the devil. But you know what? That always bothered me because I thought, I want to be guarded all the way around. The whole deal. And this is what this is saying. God will be your rear guard. Isn't it good to know that God's got you covered? And isn't it good to know that God's got your back? Amen. God's got your back. People will let you down. Sometimes family will let you down. But God's got your back. Amen. In verse 9, I love this. It says, then you shall call and the Lord will. Does it say he might answer you? Who is going to answer you? Who is going to answer you? Who is he? He's the Lord God Almighty. He's the one that created the earth, the moon, and the stars. Hallelujah. He's the one that I've said this before, but but he held all the stars in his hands and he gave them a name and he flung them out into space, and they're still hanging there by the spoken word of God. And that is who is going to answer you. Not your Uncle Claude. God. Hallelujah. He said, I will answer you. I will answer you. He didn't say, I might answer you. He said, I will answer you. Woo. And then he said, when you cry, he said, here I am. And you know what I think about I am. He is the great I am. The I am has just showed up on the scene. He can move every mountain that you've got. He can heal the sick. He can lift the financial pressures off of your back. And he said that when you call, he will answer. And he said he will say, here I am. I am. Oh, hallelujah. I am. He said he is the great I am, the God of Abraham. And that is who's going to answer you. You know, a lot of times children, when they get afraid in the room, and they say, Daddy, Daddy. And all they have to hear him say is, I'm here. Here I am. And that's what your Heavenly Father is saying. When you cry out, I'm scared, Father. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. And he says, here I am. Whoa, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can fix every problem you've got. Hallelujah. And verse 10 says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. And that's talking about that God sees every time you help somebody in need. And no one else may see it or know anything about it. But he knows. He sees what you're doing. He sees how you bless people. And he said, your light shall dawn in the darkness. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. And this is talking about how you could be a person of influence. Be ready with that tape, buddy. Instead of letting others influence you for the wrong, I challenge you this morning to take a stand for what is right. Young people, listen to me. People, young people, other people are going to drag you down. This goes for everybody. People will try to tell you, well, this is how we always do it. This is what I believe. And you know what? I had somebody come to me and say, there's many ways to God. And I said, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. You need to take a stand. And I tell you, I got to talk for a few minutes about Tim Tebow. I'm telling you, that young man is taking a stand. He is a person of influence, and he's a good example of this. This young man's influence is rocking the sports world. Here is a young man that the doctors told his mother to abort him because they said they thought there was something wrong with him. But his Christian mother said, no, I'm not going to get rid of my precious baby. And that, you know why? Because the devil was trying to take Tim Tebow out before he could make an impact on Satan's kingdom, before he could go in there and mess up his kingdom and bring glory to God and let his light shine. And Satan was trying to snuff him out. People all over the world are talking about this young man. Young people are trying to emulate him. He's influencing sports writers and fans all over. Why? Because he's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who's looking. He will honor God before, during, and after a game. And before this year, not too many people were talking about Tim Tebow. But the Bible promises that your darkness shall become as the noonday. And last night, there was a commercial came on during the game, and I've asked Buddy, put it on Facebook, and I asked him, would he share that with us this morning? If you know anything about Tim Tebow, it's all about 316. So go ahead, Buddy.
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world.
The whole world.
Everyone.
Anyone.
That's a lot of people.
That he gave his one and only son.
His only son.
That whoever believes in him will not perish.
But have eternal
life.
This came on in the middle. This is one of the commercials that came on in the game. Do you understand that his light has broken through as the noonday? And you too can have an impact on your corner of the world as you're fasting and as you're praying. You may say, well, I may not be like Tim Tebow. Start where you are. Start in your home. Start with your job. Start with your children. If you have an unsaved husband or wife, start with them. And I'm not talking about grabbing them by the lapel and say, you better get saved, you heathen. I'm tired of the way you're living. No, the Bible says, people have done this, okay? The Bible says that the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. The goodness of the Lord. I challenge you, if you've got a heathen wife or husband or kids, start being nice to them first. Instead of just beating on them and saying, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, start saying, you know what? I want to tell you something. I know God loves you. He's wild about you. He knows all about you. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. And I'm praying for you. And then go make him some banana pudding. Verse 11 says that the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. I believe that we don't have to have broken bones around here. That should have been more amens than that. Do you know the Bible talks about that God will keep your bones? Pray over that. Right there, you can stand on this scripture right here, that he will strengthen your bones. And if anybody's got osteoporosis, claim this scripture right here. For God to strengthen your bones. Speak it. Stand on it. And you should be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And this is talking about that if you've got in one version it says a well-watered garden. If you have a well-watered garden with seeds planted in the dirt and it's a good watered garden, something's going to happen. It's going to start producing whatever you've got planted in there. If you've got flowers in there or if you've got green beans in there, it's going to start producing green beans or flowers or whatever is sown. And so I'm telling you this morning, this could be your most productive year. Quit limiting God. I heard a minister say, and I shared this Wednesday night, that when you start saying this bunch of junk, well, I can't see my husband ever getting saved. I can't see most heathen kids getting saved. I can't see me ever getting a better job. I can't see this. I can't see that. You'll never have it if you can't see it. As long as you can't see it, you'll never have it. As long as you can't keep saying, I'll never see it happen. I'll never see me in a bigger house. I'll never see me in a better job. I'll never see me in a better car. You'll never have it. But I tell you what, when you start saying by the word of God, Lord, you have supplied all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You start saying, I see me being blessed. I see my church being blessed. I see my children being blessed. Would you believe that I gently rebuked the Church of God pastor this morning on Facebook? He said bad things about the Ravens. And the thing is, he's a Ravens fan. And he goes, well, if they don't do this and they don't do this and blah, blah, blah. And I came back on. And I said, don't you be speaking defeat over my Ravens. I hope I don't see him at the next meeting, but then I might, you know. And then finally, verse 12, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. I believe that through your prayer and fasting, you can affect generations to come. Amen. And I'll tell you this real quick, Jane, I heard about this father that was praying over his children every day. He fasted his lunch every day, and he prayed over his children every day for them to grow up to be good men and women, to marry the right people, and all of this. He did this, and he kept doing this till they all grew up, and they all married. They were all either ministers or they married into the ministry, every one of them. Married good people, very successful people. And then the next generation started coming up, and he kept on praying for them. And all of them became ministers except one. And that one was James Dotson. who has impacted the world, who has blessed. If you don't know who James Dodson is, he has what is it? Focus on the Family. Okay. So I don't know what you're saying. But Focus on the Family, and I'm telling you right now that through prayer and fasting, this father, his fasting and prayer has changed not only his family, but people who listen to James Dodson on the radio. And I am myself, I'm so honored to have a rich Christian heritage. My grandfather was a Church of God pastor, along with several of my uncles. My children are blessed to have a rich heritage on both sides of the family, Jim's family and mine. And I believe I'm doing what I'm doing today because somebody prayed and fasted for me. But you may be sitting there right now thinking, I don't have that kind of heritage. My family was heathens, and I don't have that kind of thing, Pastor. You know what? You be the one to start it. Let them all trace it. If we should be here another 50 years, let them trace it back. That's when it all changed, was when Grandma Linda, when she got us all in church, or when Grandma Sarah, 50 years from now, and when Grandma Eva and Grandpa Wayne, they changed everything in our home. When they got in church, they started teaching us about Jesus. Everything changed. Well, our family has been blessed. All of a sudden, we're being healed. All of a sudden, our family is being blessed financially and in every way. And we can all trace it back to that day. So it's not too late for you. You be the one to start it, to be the repairer of the breach. And I hope that I've encouraged someone today to keep fasting, keep praying. You've only got till January the 29th. And if you haven't been praying and fasting with us, jump in today. Lay something down. Lay down your Skittles. Lay down something. Lay down whatever it is, those pork chops you've been going after every day or whatever. Lay down something that means something to you. Like I said before, don't be laying down sauerkraut. You know you don't like it. I'm talking about laying down something that you're going to miss, right? And then also, you could also lay down, the Bible says that Daniel laid down his pleasant bread. You can lay down some pleasant things that you like the computer or the television. You don't have to watch so much of whatever, but you start limiting yourself during your fasting time. Use some time to praise and worship God. Talk to him, because he said, if you will call on me, I will answer. Now's your time. I'm telling you right now is your time to get your breakthrough this year. I want everyone to stand. No moving around. Just everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. This is God's time right now. God has already moved in this house today. He has already done a mighty, mighty work in this house. But I wonder if maybe you're here this morning and you have a need, or maybe you're not even a Christian. Maybe you have never given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never invited him to come into your life. I would be so honored and privileged to introduce you to Jesus today. It would be my great privilege to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here this morning and you say, Pastor, I want to start off my year being a Christian. I want to start off my year asking Jesus into my heart and life. If you're here and that's you, raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Maybe you've drifted a little bit from God. You're just not where you used to be. I mean, you're not just, terrible or anything, but you've drifted. People drift. Everybody drifts. And you just feel like that, you want to get back to where you used to be, and you would like prayer, raise your hand. We're not in a hurry. Yes, I see those hands. I see them. So this morning, I'd like for everyone that will, just bow your heads. I'm going to pray over this congregation. And if you need special prayer afterwards, if you'd like for us to pray for you specially, please feel free to come up, and because we will do that. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for every need represented in this congregation today. Lord, there are some here this morning that feel like they have drifted away from you. But they love you, Lord. They've just drifted. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that even this day, that they will rededicate their lives to you. That they will say, Jesus, I choose you. I choose you. I choose to serve you for the rest of my life. And I will make you the Lord of my life. And Lord, I pray for this whole congregation as we're praying and as we're fasting. God, draw us closer to you than we've ever been. I'm asking you, God, for breakthroughs in this congregation. I'm asking you for your light to shine upon us and that suddenlies will happen in the congregation, physically, spiritually, and financially. And Lord, I thank you and ask you to draw us so close to you, Lord. And oh God, that we would be more hungry for you than we've ever been. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would be seated for just a few minutes, we have some announcements.